pour ne jamais vous oublier, car on finit toujours par effacer le nom de ce qu'on a juré d'aimer toute la vie. Ces moments de passion, quand l'amour nous sourit, le temps d'une chanson. Soleil sans risque de pluie, un souffle chaud qui apaise son ennui. Lorsqu'on ranime son passé, pour ne jamais l'oublier, car on finit toujours par effacer le nom de ce qu'on a juré d'aimer toute la vie. Ce moment de passion,
edition of the French Connection. Today's date is Sunday, March 25th, 2007. We've turned our clocks back today. Spring ahead, actually. We've turned them ahead. We lost an hour's sleep is what we did over here in France. You guys did it a week or 2 weeks early, and it was very odd to do that because it used to be we did it kind of in step with each other. But anyway, it's Sunday, and my name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to be here with you today. I got a little energy today. I thought I would share some of it with you and doing a file with my my partner in research and this effort. His name is Eric Hufschmidt. You all know him. And French Connection site has put together it's the most complete study on the effects of world Zionism on our world ever been done. There are articles out there that do a good job of encapsulating it. There have been websites that did a wonderful job of telling you the story, such as Carol Valentine. There have been books written by Nesta Webster and by Elizabeth Dilling and some others. And there have been individuals fighting this for some time as well. But for one-stop shopping on this conspiracy, on this lie that has been pushed down the throats of the world's population, and I say the world because it's really not just an American phenomenon. It's really a worldwide thing. The website at IamTheWitness.com is the best one. And why? Because it has news articles. It has from many sources. It has researched articles, and it has audio files, and it has guests, and it has everything. Now, of course, it is not a professionally edged website. People complain about that all the time, but we're not professional website people. We were amateurs when we started, and we don't claim to do this as a living. I don't do it as a living. Neither does Eric. He's got two other websites, hugequestions.com and erichuffschmidt.net, I think it is. I'll let him tell you that in a minute. But the fact is, we don't have this glossy edge like some of these websites, like Prison Planet. And we're going to talk a little bit about why they have their edge like they do. They're going mainstream, 160 affiliates, I think, or something like that, someone told me. And what this USA Networks has to do with Alex Jones and maybe ABC. And, in fact, why is he linking up with Mark Cuban, the multi-billionaire, and some others? And, you know, it's all very suspicious. Not only is it suspicious, it actually is easy to read if you take a look at it. And we're going to explain our thinking on that issue. Because this loose change lie, this deception, these so-called student filmmakers are nothing more than young Zionist protectors is what they are. They are protecting this criminal network, and they are now being vaulted into a prominent position worldwide for their ability to hide the crimes of the criminal Zionist Jews. And I don't say that lightly. I have some encouraging news. I have received over the last few weeks many emails from Jews in New York and Los Angeles and a couple here in Europe. They are telling me that they have never been on board with Zionism, and they've been fighting it. And I felt the sincerity in three out of these four emails. One of them wasn't long enough for really get a feel for it. But my point being in this little explanation here is that not all Jews are involved in this, and certainly not all of them support Zionism. And one of them was very clear in saying that he believes there will be a backlash from what these criminals in Israel and in America and in Europe are doing at some point. And he said it will end up flowing over into the Jewish community that had nothing to do with this. And I know there are a lot of Jews that don't have anything to do with it. I got a dentist over here in France. He's a wonderful guy. He doesn't follow politics as far as what Israel's doing. In fact, he's had some rather negative things to say about Israel. When we talked about French Jews emigrating to Israel, and he said he wouldn't go there if they provided him with the biggest practice in the country, he said, and had no interest in going there. And the fact is, there are a lot of people out there, a lot of Jewish people, a lot of Christians who believe in some of the Zionist propaganda, but they don't believe in this Zionist cause. In other words, they believe that Jesus is coming, and he's going to save them, and he's going to bring them into a new life and the rest of it. But he's not doing it with this Hagee. They're not doing it with the Hagee bent. They're not doing it with the idea that to bring about destruction of the world is going to somehow bring us all to a better place. And that's absolute insanity when you take a look on it, just on its face. The other thing I'd like you to know is that none of this stuff is, in my view, religious. I think it's a lie. I think it's a deception that they use to get people into one of the many different pens, one of the many different thinking pens, and to have everybody bottled up into thinking certain ways. Religion, I think, is a tool they use to control. That's what I believe. And now, of course, some of the guests I've had on here, Dr. Day of course, Ted Pike and others would disagree wholly with what that statement, but I have never seen the leadership of this group doing anything but trying to consolidate power and control power, money, and influence. And that's what they've done. If you take a look at the Money Masters video, you'll see that they have a multi-hundred-year history of seeking out power and control. And in no instance did I see in the past that religion was anything more to them than just a tool of control. And of course, when they realize that they can bottle up tens of millions of people into this nonsense of believing that you know, they're satanic or that they're Luciferian or that they're this or that, of course, it just makes their job easier. And so, but this is my take on it. You may have another one. All I can tell you is I know who did this, and I know who's behind it all. And we're going to bring up my friend and guest right now, Eric Hufschmidt. Eric, are you with me?
Yes, here I am.
Hey, Eric, it's nice to have you on. We don't get on very much anymore. I don't do very many files. You know, I have shared with you and the listeners that my health has been challenging for me, and I, you know.
Well, plus we've already gone over so much. It's only, you can only do so, you can only say so many.
But I mean, you know, I do like to give fresh files and just to keep people feeling like we haven't abandoned the effort. And I you know, because, but frankly, you know, I've got a serious illness here, and I have to take a look at it. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's not AIDS or anything like that. I basically got a something that I discovered I had about 5 or 6 years ago, and it's pretty serious illness, and it's actually starting to debilitate me, and I found myself not following a regimen that was close to being healthy. I needed to do something to change the way I was approaching my health, and because it was starting to really affect me. So I feel a little better, not a whole lot. But that being said, there's a new article on the website that Eric worked on talking about, well, it talks about a lot of things, but more importantly, it talks about Alex Jones, and it talks about this loose change video, and it talks about this Mark Cuban and another gentleman, I'll call him a gentleman, I shouldn't, putting together a production company, and there are a lot of questions about their backing, who originally is working for them, with them, and what their goals are. Eric, you found some very strange affiliations with this Mark Cuban, and first of all, Mark Cuban is Jewish. Now that, on the face of it, doesn't make him a bad guy, but when you put married together Mark Cuban with his criminal, I mean, anybody who makes as much money as Mark Cuban has in a short period of time, there's got to be some questions about how he did it. Nobody makes $30 or $20 billion, Eric, without having to rip off somebody.
Well, yeah, you have to wonder about it at that age. I mean, it is, there's, you know, a lot of things are possible, but it's something you ought to look at. You can't just assume that he just happened to run across this much money so quickly, especially once you realize that we have already billionaire Zionist Jews like the Oppenheimers, Rothschilds, and others funding people. I mean, they've already had this history of working together and funding people. So once you see that, and then you see another Russian Jew suddenly pop up as a billionaire, the least we should do is look at see, is this another one that has joined the group and has been funded by them or helped by them?
Well, Deborah Simon was involved in the early stages of this loose change fraud. This loose change fraud. What are the major points in that video that you have problems with? I've seen the video, Eric. I've got a whole host of things, but what are the things? I mean, it points you away from any connection to anybody Jewish, period, and it points you away from Israel specifically, the Mossad and others. And in fact, when they get on radio shows to talk about it, they defend the idea that Israel had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. Am I correct in that?
Well, yeah, it's not so much that the video is bad. See, what it is what it looks to me like is they took my video and then took out some of the stuff they didn't like. They don't like me criticizing the media. They hate that. And they don't like me criticizing the FBI. And so they took my video and pulled out a bunch of information and threw in a bunch of stupid stuff like Carl Schwartz's theory. And they're using it as bait to lure people over to them. That's what it seems to be mainly. It's not so much propaganda as it's bait.
They said, Eric, right on a radio show, that anybody who thinks Israel had anything to do with it is insane. Isn't that what Hannity has been saying, and what this guy, what some of these these right wing nut job talk show hosts have been saying lately?
Oh, they all say that, but I mean, You see, even in my video, I didn't say anybody did it. I didn't say it was Israel. But they're using the video more as bait rather than as propaganda. There's a big difference. Because what they're saying, they are saying a lot of truthful things in the video. They are saying Building 7 was demolished. You know, they're using real information. This is what fools people. It's real. They may throw in a little bit of propaganda, but mostly what they're saying is true. And it's not that they're trying to fool you with the video. They're trying to use the video as bait to draw you away from people like us.
Yeah.
And then when they got you, once they got you over there in their little pen, then they'll feed you all the details about how it's the New World Order and those Luciferian controllers. And see, this is the trick they're going to use, what I think they're doing right now. This is why they're promoting loose change and how and why Mark Cuban and the others are getting involved, why Rosie O'Donnell's involved, why Charlie Sheen is involved. They're trying desperately to give publicity to these particular people so that they start attracting everybody over to them and away from us. Because I don't think I think they're realizing they can't stop the information from getting out into the public. This is not 1914 any longer, where they had virtually total control over people. You know, remember World War I when that guy got shot in Austria? There were hardly any telephones out there. There were hardly any sources of news other than a printed newspaper. There was no television, no telephones, no computers, no internet. So when people in Britain were told that a war got started in Austria and it's time to go down to Palestine and fight the Turks, the British didn't have any idea what was going on. They just did it. Nowadays, you could never get away with starting a war in such a ridiculous manner. You could never shoot a guy in Austria and then tell the Brits.
Well, actually, they shot him in Serbia, in Sarajevo, in fact.
Or whatever it was. But do you realize what I mean? The point is they shoot one guy, and then they tell the British soldiers to go down to Palestine and fight the Turks. If they tried that today, people would be immediately saying, what are we going down there for? The guy got shot over here. They'd be posting cell phone photographs. They'd be analyzing the professional photographs from the reporters. They can't get away with what they used to do. They used to be able to start wars over almost nothing. They had almost total control of the population. Today, they've lost it. It's gone, and they can't get it back, and it's getting worse. Everywhere around the world, even in foreign nations, they are talking about this, analyzing the photographs and exposing them. So what I think they're doing right now is they decided they can't control it any longer. They're using what is their last-ditch attempt is get control of the 9/11 investigation. They will expose it. It will be their people who expose it, and then they can direct all the attention to George Bush and Dick Cheney, possibly a few other people. But if you look at what's going on with that Jack Abramoff right now, people say, well, finally, we got him in jail. He's been arrested. But already he's saying that they might reduce the prison sentence because he's going to cooperate. See, and what's he going to cooperate with? Well, he's going to turn in the people he doesn't like, and then what, get out of jail for that? That could be what they'll do here with Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld. They'll arrest a few of them, and then people like Larry Silverstein might say, yeah, I'll turn in some more Bush family members in return for letting me go. I mean, they could just continue with these tricks. They've been doing it successfully for decades.
Well, what they don't tell you, Eric, in that video, which we've discussed on this program, they talk about Silverstein in a short part, but they don't talk about Lowy, the co-owner with Silverstein. They don't talk about the Estee Lauder fortune being involved in enforcing the New York state to get involved in selling a military base and the Port Authority of New York to sell the buildings in the first place at an incredible deal for both of them. They don't talk about the insurance company that was railroaded in this deal. They don't talk about any of the facts around it that would point to Jewish conspirators.
Well, yeah, right. A lot of people don't put a lot of that in their video, but see, it's even after the video, even if you talk to them at meetings or on their website, they won't talk about it. That is the issue they won't talk about. You know, you can't just say it, they don't talk about it in their video, because a lot of us don't talk about it in the videos or even some of our audio files. But it's that they never talk about it.
No, they'll actually tell you that you're crazy if you say any of those things.
Well, right. That's what their job is. That's what everybody who's coming forward is doing right now. All of the people who are getting publicity are doing this, and they're trying their best to push us aside and pretend we don't exist. They don't want anyone even listening to what we say, because even if they listen, it's going to hurt them. So they don't even want to even mention us by name any longer.
No, they won't. In fact, Alex Jones the other day was referring to us in kind of code speak.
Well, right there. So what it is a sign that they realize they can't control it any longer, and now they're going to try to just get control. They're bringing out as many politicians as they can. They're going to try to get their people in control of Britain. It looks like with this this Miliband, he might be one of them that they're going to try to get in there to replace Blair. And, you know, who knows? Sarkozy might get France, and they're just going to try to take control, it looks like, get even more control of the media, the government. And see, the problem we face is we could completely expose them. We could have documents all over the internet, videos on the internet, and audio files completely exposing them. But it won't do any good if the American people and the Europeans don't understand what we're giving them, or if they turn away and say they don't care. This is what people have to realize. We need help getting this stuff out to the public, and most of them are going to ignore us, but we got to find that small group that will care. If we don't find that group, it doesn't do any good to expose them.
Well, this guy Wagner and Cuban, what's their story as far as you've been able to find? I know there's a lot more to it than we've been able to get out right yet, but there's more to come on that, ladies and gentlemen. But what is this 2929, and what's their history?
Well, they put that together. Both of them had already become billionaires by the time they created this entertainment company. So they were already super rich, and they were young, so they're not ready to just retire and lounge around. So they ended up working together to create this company that produces and distributes movies. And you just have to take a look at what they're doing. Take a look at some of their movies and ask yourself, are they really trying to help anybody? Or is this just another propaganda company? Because, you know, some of the movies they distribute, like Capturing the Friedmans, that's this movie that talks about these Jewish pedophiles who apparently are more people that got away with some crimes. What's the point of distributing movies like that, for example, in Jesus Camp? What's the Jesus Camp movie about? You can pick up any religion and like the Jesus Camp movie and make fun of them. What's the point of this Jesus Camp? What's the point of the Friedmans? What's the point of some of the other movies, like The Interview with the Assassin, which is about the Kennedy assassination? They have a documentary, they call it a documentary, about Enron. But are they really giving us the truth about Enron? They have a movie about Pakistani terrorists. They have sadomasochist movies. They have a movie coming up about Hunter Thompson. If you look at what they produce and what they distribute, it looks like just another of their Zionist production companies pumping out propaganda. That's what it appears to be. They're not really telling us the truth about the Kennedy assassination. They're not really getting into Enron. They're not really getting into terrorism.
Well, you had experience as a guest that they really lambasted on a company's name was the owner was a guy named Walper, and he of course is a Zionist in Hollywood, but you'll also find Aaron Russo working with these same people.
Well, yeah, Alex Jones is promoting Aaron Russo all the time also.
Yeah.
It's like when you put a list of all these people's names down and you start saying, you start looking at who promotes who, you see, they all promote one another. And they're all ignoring people like us. And this can't be a coincidence. Like when Rosie O'Donnell and that Christine Ebersole went on The View to talk about 9/11, you know, why did they pick John Connor as the person to promote? He promotes Alex Jones. He is now a radio host at the GCN radio network.
Yeah.
And again, it links the same people. They promote one another. And this
you were with me when I was being railroaded out of GCN, And as long as I was saying stuff that they didn't mind, I was a golden boy. And as soon as I started talking about Lubavitch and Jewish participation in this, boy, did they get hot under the collar, Eric. You were with me during that period.
Well, yeah, this is what they all are trying to avoid. They're all protecting Israel. They're all protecting the Zionist movement. Almost everybody in this movement is turning out to be a Zionist. And it's so hard for people to understand this. In fact, I went on, Daniel Ott called me at the last moment. He needed a guest and on his little radio show. And, you know, I was talking to him about how they're also in the UFOs. They're also promoting all these UFOs in crop circles. And he made this remark, that's about half of his guests. And this brings up an interesting issue. You look at who are the guests on the radio shows. They're pumping out UFO stuff, Vatican propaganda about how the Vatican is behind everything. You know, you take away all of these people, the UFO people, the Vatican people, there's almost nobody left. Almost yeah. Everybody out there that's running around as a guest for television and radio is one of them, and they're promoting propaganda.
Yeah.
And this is what people don't get. They think, well, how could it be this big? Well, it's this big because we are funding it. We are spending billions of dollars a year on Israel. The Rothschilds have billions. The Oppenheimers have billions. The Bronfmans, look at the money these people have. And Israel can do anything they want.
Well, I've described them as the hole in the wall country where, you know, there are no rules once you get back on the Israeli soil. There's no extradition to any country on earth. And you know, it's a base of operations for them to criminally enslave the world. They, you know, I don't see any of the leadership living there. I see them using that as a base to go out into the world and commit crimes.
Well, it is a crime center, and you see that a lot of the internet gambling, a lot of the pornography, sex slaves, drug production, drug dealing, money laundering, it's a lot of it is coming out of that place. And they use it, they could be using this as a training center, too. For all we know, some of the radio show hosts even go over there for training and practice. You know, they may sometimes send people here for training, you know, bring the Israelis over here, but people have to realize this is why it's so big. Israel is their training center. They've got a lot of money, and there's a lot of people around the world that want this Zionist movement to go. They are supporting it.
Yeah.
And so this is why when you look around, it's everywhere. And the money is phenomenal. They have a tremendous amount. And so if people don't take this seriously, we're just going to get taken advantage of again. They're going to get more control of our country and Europe, even though we're exposing them.
Yeah, well, a good example, Eric, during the time that we were getting the best traction, they actually increased their numbers in both the Congress and the Senate.
Yeah, in fact, there was an Israeli newspaper article boasting about how now there are more Jews than ever in the American government. The Democrats are suckers over and over again with this. They keep thinking, well, Bush is the problem, and so the solution is to vote a Democrat. I see this even with my own father and my brother. I can tell them over and over, well, but it's both parties. And then they respond, yeah, but they're still a little better. But how can anyone say that? How can they say they're better? It's like constipation or diarrhea. How can you say one is better? Both of them are bad. You don't vote for either one. You don't try to pick the lesser of the evils. If you had any sense, you'd say, we're not accepting either of them. We don't want any of these people. You don't pick the lesser of the evils.
Yeah.
And well, this is what the people are falling for, this deception that, we'll pick the lesser of the evils, and the lesser of the evils is Nancy Pelosi. That's nonsense.
Well, and then, you know, to placate the patriot community, they put this guy Ron Paul up. Now, Ron Paul has had some interesting things to say about a lot of subjects, and I got to admit. And, of course, he would have interesting things to say because he wouldn't be able to sit in a catbird position in the patriot community if he weren't saying some things that everyone liked. But my question is this, Eric. The history of these people over the last 50 years, if you were not on board with them, or if you were doing damage to their movement, or you were not being helped by them, they killed you. Now,
well,
take a look at Paul Wellstone. Look at Mel Carnegie. Look at, they have no compunctions about taking you out. Now, why would it, you know, why would you think for a second that they would have any problems with taking Ron Paul out? Of course they don't. You know, so my point is, I don't entirely jump on board with the guy. Now, I may be wrong. I mean, you know, we've made mistakes, but...
Well, yeah, but you have to ask yourself, why is he getting so much promotion by people who lie about everything else?
Well, that's right.
See, it doesn't make any sense. If he was so honest, why is he being promoted by Alex Jones and all the others? And why is Bob Bowman getting so much promotion by the scholars for 9/11 Truth? They don't promote somebody that unless they have control over them. So it may just be blackmail. See, this is the other thing people don't take seriously. In fact, I got an email the other day from a woman who was saying, thanks for your websites and, you know, your warnings, because now she's starting to understand why these mysterious people were talking to her, because she started getting into 9/11, and she said these, like, some of these mysterious people would start talking to her, like, gosh, do you have any secrets? Let's each tell each other a secret. Do you have any secrets? And they'd want to go to the bank with her and help her out with things, and help her maybe if she wanted to find a job. And this is what they'll do even in Scientology. Oh, tell me some of your secrets. What sort of fantasies do you have? What do you have sexually that you'd like to tell me? They make it look like they're just ordinary people. Let's all tell each other some secrets. And what they're looking for are weaknesses, something to blackmail you over. And if people don't take this seriously, they're going to end up as one of their puppets. Afraid to talk because they're afraid that they've just let out their little fantasies of whatever it is, and they're embarrassed. You know, it may not be illegal. It may just be that they're embarrassed. That's what they say goes on at Scientology. They get you to start talking about things. And then they may encourage you to start doing some things, and you're being secretly filmed and recorded the entire time.
Well, I mean, you know, these people don't have any problem with acting sick. I mean, you know, let's bring the El Salvadorian minister in there. I mean, the consul general.
Well, right. See,
from Israel.
Well, see, this is the other thing that people don't realize. They are, look who's dominating the pornography industry and the sex slave trade. So if they get you to come over and if they fool you into thinking they're your friends and they say, hey, come on over, we're having a party, and hey, check this out here, do this, and let's try this. It's an experiment. Here's a dog here. Let's just try this with the dog. I mean, they can push a lot of people, especially when they're young and a little bit drunk or something, or if they slip you some drugs you don't even realize. They can fool a lot of people, get them into a lot of compromising positions. And there's evidence everywhere that that is what they are doing. And people got to take this seriously. These people are not fooling around. Just look at what they did during World War I and World War II. Look at those Eisenhower death camps. Look at the bombings of the cities of Dresden and the others. They are slaughtering people. And usually what they do is they even trick other people into doing this slaughtering. They find some other sucker who doesn't understand what's going on and get him to do it.
Well, I shared with you last week, Erica, that experiment done back in the 50s where they invited people in to actually met out some pain to an unsuspecting person, and they actually put so much electricity into the thing that killed them. And half of the people went along with it without ever having any contact with these people. They were just regular people walking in to do this experiment, and they end up committing murder in their minds.
Well, yeah, I remember those experiments. They were... It shows you that people will just follow orders no matter how stupid they might seem.
How horrendous and immoral.
Well, yeah, and see, this is what they're taking advantage of. People will follow orders. They don't question it. They're taught this. They're taught don't question orders. And see, the other thing people are being, it seems like they're being trained into accepting is they're accepting incompetence among leadership, because whenever people behave in a stupid manner, they make excuses. Like, take a look at that Hurricane Katrina. They'll make excuses. Oh, gosh, mix-up, incompetence, sorry. They're always doing this, about making excuses about how they're incompetent, they're stupid, they didn't know. They're doing this in the 9/11 groups, too. People like, what is going on with Professor Jones? You know, and look at Kevin Ryan. Look at these people. They never talk about anything, really. They bring out a few little tidbits, and then that's it. And people always make excuses. Well, maybe they just don't know. Maybe they're incompetent. People are being taught to accept the idea that our leaders are incompetent.
Well, I'm going to tell you point blank. I've had three conversations with Stephen Jones on the phone. And I, the second time I talked to him, I spelled out the story to him, spelled it out in detail. And I said to him, what in the world are you doing with Scholars for Truth? This is back when he was still with them. And I said, you know, here is everything in a nutshell, and what are you doing with these people? And he said to me on the phone call, yeah, well, I know, is what he said. And I said, well, you really got to think about getting yourself straight here, Stephen, because, you know, this is, yeah, I know. And you know something, Eric? He got off that phone call. Nothing changed. He stayed with Scholars for Truth until he branched off. But this guy's still acting like he doesn't understand any of the facts.
That's right. And so you don't know, is he working with him or is he being blackmailed? But it doesn't matter. He's not going all the way. It's time to say, you know, fine, his research on Thermite is fine. Don't consider him a leader. He's not a leader. He may have done some good research on Thermite. That's it. He needs to be pushed aside. He's not a leader. His entire group is full of these liars. And so people have to stop this accepting of incompetence in leadership. Stop making excuses for your leaders. Stop saying, well, maybe they're naive. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they're stupid. If they are stupid or naive, tell them to get out. We don't need this. And this is what I think they teach people. They're encouraging people to accept this incompetence. So what I think with, like, the scholars and David, Kevin Ryan, you know, they might listen to their few good tidbits and then tell them, okay, that's it. You said your stuff. Now just shut up. We don't need any more from you. We don't need you to tell us what to do about the problem. We don't need them in control of organizations. We don't need them influencing the world when they can't do anything really serious, except maybe add a few little tidbits. That's all they are, is that they're adding a few little tidbits. That's it. And so people should stop looking at these people as leaders. And same with Ron Paul. What is he saying that you couldn't find from someone else? What is it Bob Bowman saying? Nothing. And they associate with all of the known liars. And so don't elect these people. You know, if we don't start raising standards for people in leadership, they're just going to continue taking control of us.
Well, this 2929, did you find out some of their affiliations were rather fishy, Eric?
Well, the only thing you can find, we found so far, actually, Christopher Bolin was looking into that one, them too. It's hard to find a whole lot because some of this it's all brand new, and all we can tell for sure is that these guys are super rich. They're somehow, what we can't figure out is how did they even get involved with Loose Change? Did Loose Change contact them? Did they contact Loose Change? Or is this all a big network? Because think about it. How did they get going? How did they pick Loose Change? Who made this decision? It's not a coincidence. So they must somehow these people are affiliated with this. It's quite possible they are part of the same Zionist network.
You know who I thought that was, who, and this is going to piss off a lot of the listeners out there that follow Mel Gibson, but I think Mel Gibson blackmailed, and I think he did all of that stuff as a staged event because he was being blackmailed, and I look at the stuff that he's doing and his associations in the movie industry and the people he still works with, worked with before the incident and worked with after and during. And in every case, Eric, he is working with some of the most rabid Zionist groups in Hollywood. And this guy is absolutely, in my view, was there to raise the level of vitriol of this anti-Semitism. And it was a setup, and it stinks like fish to me.
Well, it could be. It could be that they set him up knowing and telling him, here's what we want, or manipulating him. See, this is the problem. You don't know what's going on. You can tell there's something does seem a little fishy here. Because, I mean, the policeman that he was arguing with was Jewish. And then that policeman, I think it was that policeman that leaked the information illegally. And it looks like it was all a setup on purpose, like you say. But you can't figure out, you know, are they working together or are they forcing him to do it? And it's the same with Professor Jones. You can't figure out, is he doing this voluntarily or out of fear or blackmail? But you see, they're both religious, both of them. Professor Jones considers himself a Mormon. I mean, what is the Mormon church? What is that exactly? I don't know too much about these religions, but it's a new religion from, 100 years ago or so? And for all we know, he is into this, you know, we've got to create Israel, we've got to go after those Arabs. He may have that bias. And then Mel Gibson's into Christianity. I don't know if he may have that bias also, that we've got to drive those Muslims out of Jesus' birthplace. One of the things we really need to be careful of is accepting these religious people as leaders because of their, and how do we know if this Mormon church is not somehow influencing Stephen Jones, him and his religious beliefs? I mean, how smart is this guy? What is this Mormon church? How smart is this guy if he's in it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what has the Mormon church ever done or said that we could even treat them as a real religion? You know, they're collecting money.
They've got a lot of influence in Nevada and actually into the Las Vegas area with real estate and corporations, and it's the wealthiest church per person in the country.
Yeah, and also there's remarks that it's also Salt Lake City's like a pedophile center. And the weirdest thing is, I think I might have mentioned it once years ago, somebody needed some software help, and it was in Salt Lake City, and they wanted some. It had to do with pedophilia, and so I was checking it out, thinking, "What is this job they want?" I didn't do it, but it was a really mysterious group. They do analysis of pedophiles, trying to figure out what they were doing. Is showing they put a sensor on a man's penis, and then they'll show him pictures on a TV screen of different things like boys, girls, dogs, all kinds of sex acts, trying to figure out what does he get excited by. Now, the reason they told me they wanted this, the reason they told me that they were doing this was they're trying to help the pedophile. But, you know, at the time I was thinking, boy, this is weird, and these people act weird, and I don't even want this kind of work. But now that I look at it, you know, what this could have been is, let's find out what these people's weaknesses are. What are they turned on by? And then we can use them. That could be what's going on over there in Salt Lake City. Trying to determine how they can use these convicted pedophiles. What do they like? And then they may even do it with other people. Not just the criminals that are already in jail. So they may be using these techniques. It's like Kay Griggs was saying, when you join the army, they start looking for weaknesses. Well, this type of test, this type of experiment will show them what people get sexually excited by. You see, and maybe they're looking for these people, and then when they find them, they set them up, film them, and then they really have some blackmail over these people. So I think we should be really suspicious of this whole Mormon church and all of these religious fanatics, and not even let them influence us. You know, how do we know that they're even telling us the truth when you look at them and they're not even telling you the whole story anyway? That should be a sign. They don't tell the whole story. They associate with criminals, and they're religious.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, here's the interesting thing. Of course, Cuban and this other guy made headlines, and actually the Israeli news agency, as being prestigious Jews.
Well, that was someone in Israel is proud of Mark Cuban, so he.
But his name is not Cuban, is it?
No,
family name
something like Chabainsky, or they're Russian Jews. They came over here, but see, here again, a lot of people will say, "So what? People immigrated all the time."
Yeah, but they think that'll make you hear a name Cuban, you might think he's Latino.
Right, that's exactly right. It's like Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes. That's not his real name. Mike Savage, the guy at the radio show host, that's not his real name. A lot of them have changed their names so you think that they're Americans or Spanish or whatever. They're really they're all Zionists. And the problem though with Russian Jews that emigrated right after 1897 is it looks like a lot of them came over here specifically to get that Zionist movement going. You know, that is when the plan, the official Zionist movement got started, and they started making plans to get Israel going. And so they, you know, working together, and they start spreading around to different nations to get it moving. So for all we know, Mark Cuban's family is part of that original group. We don't know. He certainly wouldn't tell us. But we have to wonder about this. Because that's, you know, if you look at history, once the Zionist movement got started officially, it had already been a dream. They've already been working on it before that. But when it got started officially, when it started getting funding by the Rothschilds and others, it became big. And you can see things happening after that. You can see plans being made. You can see people moving around. You can see the attempt to get it going and get those Zionist groups started in different nations. So
well, you know, Eric, back in the 1850s and 60s and during the Civil War when there was a lot of war profiteering going on, many of the companies that were providing war materials and then subsequent to the war that grew into the big robber barons building railroads and steel mills and stuff, their financing came out of old Europe, and by old Europe, I mean Rothschild. And people like the Rockefellers, when they built Rockefeller Center, you have to take a look at who funded these people originally. And their original funding came from old Europe again, and old Europe leads you right back to Rothschild money. And then you start taking a look at their affiliations to these foundations and the way they've used foundations to forward this whole conspiracy. If all the way from things like what they put in our foods to dumb us down or whatever, but if you look across the board in the foundations in media, foundations in universities, foundations in medical science, it's endless. And they're at the leading edge of all of these foundations.
Well, yeah, and the things that they call think tanks, they're into that too. They're into trying to manipulate public opinion. They have all sorts of these groups where people do nothing but push papers around the desk and make phone calls. They call them think tanks, or you know, they're involved in school curriculum. It's them. They're creating these as ways to manipulate and influence society. And if you'll see, look on television when they do interviews of so-called analysts or experts, it's a lot of them. It's coming from those organizations. And they're funding a lot of groups. With their money, they also then fund other people. And that, like you said, the Rockefellers, they're always holding up. People like Alex Jones will hold up David Rockefeller as one of the most important people on the planet, as one of the top people. But who funded the Rothschild? I mean, the Rockefellers. It's not. The Rockefellers are like one of their groups, and that could be where David Cuban comes from. For all we know, this 2929 company, this entertainment company, Mark Cuban may have gotten his start this way. This is what we don't know yet, but they've done it before, so we should consider that they're still doing it. Why would they stop?
Well, you know, interestingly, Eric, they've taken over the public television airwaves as well. And you know, somebody sent me a link to this guy, Charlie Rose, who does interviews on public television. And he was doing a series on important public figures and America going forward. Almost exclusively his interviews now, in the past and coming up, were all Zionist Jews. Rahm Emanuel. We have Kissinger was done. We had what's his name? That nitwit that used to be Speaker of the House. Another Zionist Jew.
Oh yeah,
it's unbelievable. And this is supposed to be American public television that we finance with our tax dollars. It's astonishing that in every place you look, without exception, they are in control.
They are, and you'll see it even at Jeff Rentz's site. If you look at who he calls his columnists, Judy Andreas, you know, all of these people are either Jews or if you're not sure, some of them you can't figure out if they are, but they promote the Zionist cause, or they appear to be. So here's the other trick a lot of people don't get. They appear to be on our side, but they're not really. They're always twisting it. And a good example is, for example, Eric Williams, that he was the one they're trying to promote as a Holocaust denier. The way you can see that they're not for real is if you look at their conclusions. For example, Eric Williams has a book out called it's about the Holocaust. It's called The Puzzle of Auschwitz. And if you look at his conclusion, I'll read it to you. It says, he's talking about how in his book he's saying, well, these Nazi camps were work camps. The Jews have exaggerated. You know, there are no death camps. There were no gas chamber. So he's basically exposing it. He sounds like a Holocaust denier. He looks really good, like, oh, he's exposing their lies. Then you look at his chapter 11, the conclusion, and he writes this: by exaggerating the suffering of the Jewish people during World War II, Zionist groups and the Israeli regime are taking advantage of furthering their agenda to neutralize any opposition. And he goes on a little bit like this. But listen to this. By exaggerating the suffering of the Jewish people during World War II. See, he's starting already. After showing how they're lying about these death camps, his conclusion is, they've exaggerated the suffering of the Jewish people. Now,
well, you know, I've never looked into the issue. I've never looked into it ever.
But you don't have to realize, wait a minute, who suffered during World War II? How many Jews, even if 6 million died? What about the dead Germans, British, Russians, Austrians, Americans?
Didn't 20 million Russians die?
Well, yeah, we don't, sure, yeah, I mean, enormous numbers, who even knows how many, but don't you see, after, he's got a book specifically about how they're lying about the Holocaust, and his final conclusion is they exaggerated the suffering of the Jewish people. I mean, during World War II, this is not a conclusion of World War II. World War II, the suffering was Japanese, Americans, British, Russians, Germans, Norwegians. I mean, look at the people who suffered. But what you see, what they want to do is they want to put their people in control. And then what's your final conclusion? Well, Israel exaggerated a little bit about the suffering of the Jewish people. That's not what really was going on. They are always, the key that identifies these people, they are always minimizing what Israel has done, what Zionism has done. They're always trying to bring pity to themselves and ignore what they've done. All the phenomenal crimes. Look at what Eisenhower did. Fenced in more than a million Germans and just let them all die after the war is over. And this guy's conclusion about World War II is, well, they exaggerated the suffering of the Jewish people. And that's not a sensible conclusion. But this is what they all do. Alex Jones, Jeff Rentz, all of these radio and television people.
Well, I've noticed lately he does mention the Israelis on occasion and then drops it quite quickly and moves on. And I think it's almost, when I hear it, it sounds like he's trying to maybe push away some of the criticism of him not talking about this. But you have to go back in time in order to understand the full weight of his denial of these facts. This guy's been around these issues for three times longer than you and I, Eric. And all roads lead to these people. And the fact is, he only will touch it in the most delicate way. And the fact is, what he's trying to do now is say, well, look, I do talk about that. Well, and trying to deflect attention away from the fact that he is whitewashing it.
That's right. That's what they all do. That's what that Maynard guy, Mark Glenn, they all will mention it. They all will bring up these issues. Even Jeff Rentz and Mike Rivero and Ingrid Rimland. But then look at what they say. Look at like that article recently that Ingrid Rimland posted it on the internet about how basically making excuses again for Israel. Now this, her husband's in jail for Holocaust denial. This is a woman who claims she wants her husband out of jail, and here she is trying to make excuses for Israel and Zionism. And Mike Rivero, she's holding up Mike Rivero's article, which is also doing it. So if you'll see the pattern over and over, they will say a few critical things, but there is also, they're trying to bring pity to the Zionist movement. They're trying to encourage you to think, oh, it's just a little exaggeration here or there. Or they made a, you know, they're under the control of, they were working with the Bush administration or the Johnson administration when they bombed that USS Liberty. It's not all their fault.
Right.
You see, it's the same thing. They will mention it, but then they're always deflecting it away from them. Or saying, well, they were just working with President Johnson. It's not really their fault. Or they just exaggerated a little bit, or they made a mistake, or maybe there was a couple criminals within the Israeli government who need to be arrested, but it's not the rest of them. So this is the key that separates them from us. They are saying the words to make it look like they're exposing Zionism, but they really are just trying to get control and then push us aside and then make excuses for themselves.
Well, I mean, I want to take a look now at somebody you had a run-in with, Penn and Teller, and his relationship with this guy James Randi, which Randi sounds like an English name. He's from what I understand, he's Jewish.
I think he is. Yeah, I think so too. I can't remember why I think that, but I might have looked back. You see, what brought Randi to our attention is after Christopher Bolin pointed out in an article that William Rodriguez would not talk about the Israeli connection in 9/11. He noticed somebody pointed out to him that to Bolin that over at this James Randi forum, they're criticizing him now. So he looks and he finds these articles, these messages at the James Randi forum about how he's some sort of Nazi nutball and all this. And he's like, what in the world? Why would James Randi all of a sudden attack me? But James Randi used to work with William Rodriguez. He had hired him when Rodriguez was young. He had hired him as one of his employees. So he knew Rodriguez, and it's possible that this connection is not just something interesting. It may be that once Rodriguez became famous, James Randi said, "Hey, I know that guy," and they may have contacted him. There may have been a lot of people who contacted Rodriguez and tried to get him to shut up about the Israeli connection, but it could be that Randi is one of them. And if you look at James Randi, he's like Penn and Teller and a lot of these other so-called, what do they call themselves? Exposing pseudoscience and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like Michael Shermer. He's like this Urban Legends website. They create the impression that they're honest people exposing con artists. But what is he really exposing? Look at his performance. He exposes a few con artists just like they do at Urban Legends and just like Michael Shermer will do. That gives them credibility. And then they'll slip in all sorts of lies. And that is what they're using. They get the credibility by exposing a few insignificant con artists, and then they protect Zionist crimes. And that's what he's doing. That's what James Randi's all about. That's what Penn and Teller are doing. They will expose a few con artists, and then they protect their people. And if we don't, this is what I mean, that people can't see this, they're just going to continue it. We could completely expose these people, but if the American people can't see through this, if the Europeans can't see through this, they're just going to continue fooling everybody.
Well, who is this guy, Alex Flom?
Well, he helped get the Scholars for 9/11 Truth going. He's one of the founding members with Jim Fetzer and the others. And he's also active. He's very active on the internet. He posts at 9/11 blogger. He may have created it too. He remains kind of secretive, but he has a George Washington blog. This is another thing that you'll find that's interesting. A lot of these people, they're Zionist Jews, and they'll take pictures of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, and pictures of the American flag, and they put it on their website, and they create the impression that they are Americans, patriotic Americans. And really, they're Zionist Jews. And you'll see the same thing with this Michael Savage. When I first listened to him years ago, I thought he's some sort of a Christian whack job, you know, extreme Christian religious Republican. It turns out he's Jewish. And he may not even be Republican. He may just be, he seems to be a Zionist. If you listen to the way he talks, especially his attack on Jimmy Carter recently, his attack of Jimmy Carter as being some Nazi anti-Semite, you'll see that he's not what he claims to be. A lot of the Zionist Jews have taken on other personalities. They've changed their names. They're pretending to be something else, like a Christian or an atheist or a Muslim or a patriot of some sort. And they're fooling people. And there's so many of them. This is what's overwhelming. There are so many that people have a hard time believing it could be this big. That there's hundreds and hundreds of these people.
Well, I know there were two grand wizards in the past that were outed as one of them came from Brooklyn as he was a Jew that was actually, I think it was a son of a rabbi, went down and became a Nazi grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, yeah, that's I think I've heard a few of those too. There, a lot of the anti-Semitism, a lot of this racial stuff, the fights in the racial issues seem to be coming from them also. They're constantly stirring up trouble. Oh, and if you listen back, this is what I showed Daniel Lott on that radio show last night. He had never noticed either that in 1999, Alex Jones was creating hysteria, trying to create hysteria over that Y2K issue. And if you listen to that, people really need to listen to that particular show that Bill Cooper did on Alex Jones, because it's the same things he's doing today. The Chinese are down there in Mexico ready to attack us. The Russians are ready to attack us. It's the same, some of the same exact arguments he's doing today.
Yeah.
Nothing has even changed. These people can use the same stupid stuff over and over and over. People don't get it. They're not catching on. And this is what I mean. If we don't get help spreading this and encouraging people to look seriously at this, they can just use the same tricks they've been using for decades.
Well, I mean, you know, our numbers have stayed stable, Eric, around between 8 and 12,000. So, I mean, we have a core group of visitors that know the information, and I think by and large they're well educated. So, you know, the fact that people are opinion shapers and they're well educated, but there's more that we can do. One of the things I talked to you about just before the broadcast was going to all these 911 videos on YouTube and putting a posting there saying that 9/11 is a Zionist conspiracy. And just simple statement, 9/11 is a Zionist conspiracy. And if all 10,000 of the people that listen to this show bombarded YouTube with that fact, it would hit eyeballs across the country.
Well, yeah, if everybody would just occasionally post messages like that.
Simple things, though. You don't have to get elaborate. You could say, did you know that you can put 10 names down of people involved in 9/11 that were from the Zionist community and say, did you know that all of these are Zionist Jews and they were involved in 9/11?
Yeah, I know. You can just post simple messages. I think people are starting to realize finally that most of the message boards are under their control. And that if you try exposing Zionism on it, they'll ban you or bury your message. I think people are finally waking up to that. So, but YouTube still, you are still capable of posting messages like you just said, 9/11 was a Zionist job. You can still post those messages. So that's one way of getting it out, plus just bringing it up once in a while at work or with your friends, is every once in a while just bring it up again and hope that you can get through to reach people that care.
Or photocopy 20 pieces of paper a day that say 9/11 was a Zionist conspiracy, and just leave these papers in your travels, one here, one there. And if you did that every day times 20 times 10,000, you know, we've got millions of people seeing that, and part of this fight is just getting people to break out of this fog bank that they seem to be stuck in. And I think it's worked, by and large, and this is why they're panicking. But to push this over the edge, I think we just have to give it that extra shove, Eric.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out exactly the best way to do it. Messages on YouTube are right now probably much better than messages on message boards. The message boards, I think people are abandoning them, and they're erasing them. But the messages that YouTube is picking up, so it's a good way to put a little short message, real short, so you can read it quick. You don't need a lot. And so just put up 9/11 was a Zionist job. As people start getting used to seeing that, it will help.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, a lot of these Jewish organizations are still using the term Zionist in their propaganda. And it seems to me that they're starting to realize that there is a backlash being formed against criminal Zionism. And I think that that's a win for us, basically, because I'm starting to see that, you know, these people are being outed to some degree.
Oh yeah, it is getting out, but this is what we have to realize is people can't yet relax. It's getting out, but they are still gaining control over politics, the media, and the banking. So we still have a ways to go. Don't anyone think it's ready to relax. It's not party time yet.
No, and I don't know whether we'll see party time in our lifetimes, but I do know that that the fact is that more people know that the criminal world, criminal Zionism, is behind all of the problems in our world. And they're starting to understand just how deep the rot is and how serious and consequential it all is. And I don't, you know, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And I don't think there's ever been a time in history that so many people have known the truth or have begun to look into the facts. And so this is a wonderful knowledge to have that we've made that kind of inroad, but it's far from over.
Oh, yeah. We have a ways to go, so... But people just have to. All they can do is just talk to your friends. Every once in a while, just try to mention. Did you hear Rosie O'Donnell? Even though they're lying, you can still use it on the people who are resisting. You can still say, "Well, did you see that? Did you see what Rosie O'Donnell said the other day?" So even though they lie, we can use it to our advantage just to break it. You know, get people going, and then once they are starting to listen, then you can say, "Well, now that you're starting to accept it, take a look at the real information that I am the witness." You see, then we can use these people to break the ice.
Yeah.
And so that's about the only thing we can do is ask people just nicely. Did you hear about what Rosie O'Donnell's doing? Did you hear about the loose change video? Don't even try telling them how complicated this deception is. Just tell them. Have you heard about Charlie Sheen and the new loose change video? It's a great way to break the ice, because then what are they going to do? Call Charlie Sheen and the whole, you know, now it's getting difficult for them to criticize it. You see, it's the more people they get into this, the harder it will be for people to laugh it off.
That's right.
And it's going all over the world, so it's getting harder and harder for people to dismiss it. And so you can use that to force them into it, and then once they start looking at it, then you can say, now that you're getting into it, take a look at how deep it really goes here.
Yeah.
Go to I Am the Witness. So that's how they could use this.
Well, Eric, you know, I appreciate you coming on today. I don't do that many files anymore because I just, really, the energy level is just low. I'm doing my best to fix my health, but...
Well, plus,
all I can do is stabilize it at this point. I can't change it. I can only fix it to make myself have a little more staying power and stuff. But, you know, we don't profit from this. We just get along and try to get this message out. And I'm going to try to get a few extra guests coming up. And we've got some good ideas coming up. I think we have somebody coming up this week that's going to really rock everybody. I'm not going to let them all know what it is because, you know, the dogs will come out and try to stop that. You know, I appreciate your help on today's broadcast. And I asked you to put up a musical a song for me by Dion Tell at the beginning of the program. I'm going to ask you to play the entire clip of it because I think it's something nice to start out with. You know, there is a lot of beauty in this world, Eric. And we don't have to see the sickness and the vulgarity that these people are promoting as the norm in our lives if we don't want to. We don't have to go down that lowest common denominator road. We can keep the beautiful things in mind and know what we're fighting for.
Oh, I know. That's what people have to keep in mind, what we could be doing with our technology, what we could be doing with our time, with our effort, instead of letting it become contaminated, full of uranium and toxic waste. This is, again, where these religious fanatics can be dangerous, because some of them have this attitude that it doesn't matter what happens to the planet Earth, because soon Jesus or Moses or whoever is going to return. These people are dangerous. They are destroying this planet, and they don't even care, because they think, well, this is what's supposed to happen before the end times come. And for all we know, that's why Professor Stephen Jones believes that the end times are on the way. So people have to think about, you know, we have carpenters, engineers, technicians, chefs. We've got people that could be doing useful work. We could be enjoying our life. Think of what could be. Think of that we could have beautiful, clean air and water and nice parks and flowers. Think of what we could be doing. Don't get caught up in the fear-mongering that you get from Alex Jones. Don't think of being chipped and the Chinese are down there in Mexico hiding in the bushes ready to attack us. start thinking of what we could be doing, how we could make nice cities, beautiful parks, nice trains, nice architecture. Think of how we could be having dinner. We could be having clean, healthy food and clean water. So think of what's good, and let's work towards that, and don't get involved in all this fear.
Well, you know, we do have to battle these people, and keeping people on in good emotional stead is going to keep us strong. So, you know, I want to thank you for coming on today, Eric. You, as usual, we always talk about powerful issues, and I will be contacting you shortly after the broadcast. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for listening today's broadcast, this Sunday broadcast of the French Connection. Till the next time, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you to be well. Bye-bye now.